Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Yep, that is a live shot of New York City right now. We're still living in a Martian atmosphere, apparently.
Couldn't breathe yesterday. I'm walking around wearing a mask. I'm like, what, am I back in the pandemic?
Yesterday, as this Justin was starting, I had to mention it because the screen behind me showed outside and it was like twice as red as that, like red. Like you were literally, looked like you were on Mars, right?
Yeah, that's
nuts.
That's so weird that it looks like that because typically, I mean, I'm out west and when we have the wildfires, I mean, we get the, you know, the smoke and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If it comes from other, you know, from Northern California or whatnot or Oregon. But it's never, like, you don't get it to the degree like that.
I never seen it like this, Key.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It's like that is right in Brooklyn or something, the way it looks.
And it is. Not just in Manhattan. Like, you could step outside yesterday and the air was orange. It was like orange-red. Like, twice as dark as that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of...
And you smell it, too.
You guys in New York always wanted to be for the West anyway, so here you go, Jeff.
Can I tell you what else was weird yesterday, Key? NBA Twitter yesterday. It's all over the place. It was so weird. And it was so great at the same time.
A lot of stuff going on in the NBA.
Oh,
in and around the NBA.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a lot of things were popping off yesterday.
Meantime, just as I predicted, Jokic and Murray with 30-point triple-doubles and a Denver win.
Max, well, yeah. We're only 1 minute in, man.
That's right.
Yeah, it's popping yesterday, Max.
Oh, you want to – but see, the problem is if we start – a little too much rope, and then we're going to get into too deep in some stuff we won't be able to come back
now. You're right.
We haven't been able to come back for a long time anyway, Max.
You're right about that, Max. You don't want to go down that rabbit hole, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've always thought to send my kids to some very prestigious universities, Jay mm-hmm. and Max. Mm-hmm. Columbia really wasn't one. I just figured, you know, when you start thinking about schools and universities mm-hmm. and sure. the education that guys get and Harvard's and even USC's to a degree or UCLA's, mm-hmm. Cal, Berkeley, I always thought that Duke guys were smart, you know?
Hey, look, man. You know,
top flight sports program, but also academically.
Let me say this. No barriers were broken yesterday. This ain't the first or the last, okay? Like, that's all. Hmm.
You know, are you talking about a former Duke student athlete?
I'm just talking about people in general.
Anything going on with you or JJ Redick or anything like that?
I'm talking about star athletes in general. You know,
just star athletes.
Sometimes things happen.
I got it.
Like I said, sometimes things pop off.
Pop off. Yeah. Pop out. Got it.
Yeah. It's all part of life, huh?
You know, there's a new reality show.
Yeah, what's that?
NBA stars and the women behind them.
Man, move on before you get in trouble.
What? It's a new reality show. That's all.
Well... Things got real yesterday in the NBA. So as I was saying, much as I predicted,
back to the NBA Finals. What did you predict now?
I said Denver was going to take control of this series because Jokic and Jamal Murray would be the first teammates ever with 30-point triple-doubles in a Finals game.
People can't allow this ear hustle to continue with this dude, man.
Yeah, I think it's a wrap, though, to be honest with you.
Gentlemen sweep? So the word sweep is still in there?
Okay, so wait, let me think.
Give it to you,
Jay.
Try to give you
the
general seat.
So four is in Miami. Yeah, it's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Jay.
It's a chicken Caesar?
Yeah, it's over.
I'm not saying that. I'm still with Heat 7.
Chicken Caesar with no cheese and give me some give me some buffalo meat.
Mm. So like, all right, so here's how I look at it. So game one, everybody talks about how Miami shot the ball poorly, right? Denver shot the ball poorly and they won convincingly. From the three-point line, okay? Mm-hmm. We then talked about the only way Miami could actually win this series is because we don't feel like they'll be able to stop Denver offensively, is that they have to match them offensively.
Got to stay hot from three, yeah.
Game two, they come back. Where they shoot from the three-point line, 50%,
yeah,
right?
Like 100%, yeah.
So Denver shoots like 39%, but you still felt like Denver had a chance to win, right?
They did.
Had a legit chance to win. Yeah. Could have gone to overtime. It's not like Miami won the game convincingly.
No, that shot looked good out of Jamal Murray's hands at the end of game two. It would have sent it to overtime.
But then last night, even though Denver didn't shoot the ball well from three-point line, they actually stopped giving up open looks. So we talked about Miami made 17 made threes in game two. Nine of those threes were wide open. They were butt naked. So you didn't see any wide open threes last night. You saw maybe one or two or three. I saw Kevin Love get two. Right? But you saw a team not shoot the ball well from the three-point line. You saw Denver dominate with points in the paint. And you saw Denver dominate with rebounds. So when I go back to people trying to argue with me about, yeah, Miami's just as talented as Denver, I'm like, no, they're not.
Talent is not the same.
Talent is not the same because Denver is more talented. And when Denver puts it together and plays with a sense of urgency, that margin you saw last night is the gap between the two.
But can we also just like admire for a second what Jamal Murray and Jokic did last night? You know, the whole thing about the bubble, I'm going back to the bubble because Jokic was an emerging star, but Jamal Murray played out of his mind, right? And they came back in consecutive series down 3-1. They were the cardiac kids. Jokic did not play his best bat. Like, Murray elevated, Jokic did not, right? And that's why I've been suspicious of Jokic. I wanted to see him do this because then Jamal Murray got hurt last couple postseasons, wasn't available. So I wanted to see when they get back and they're healthy, can Jokic elevate the way Jamal Murray elevated, and can Jamal Murray continue to do what he did in the bubble? Man, that's what happened last night. You had two superstars. You know, Jokic is a superstar, Jamal Murray's a star, but when the moment is big, Jamal Murray becomes a superstar, and Jokic was just insane. When you have two dudes playing on that level, good luck. If one team has Shaq and Kobe, or you know, LeBron and Wade, or Jordan and Pippen, good luck. That's what these two dudes were last night. It was impossible. What were you going to do? It was impossible.
So, Keith, that's what I was talking about before, man. You and I both been rapping about it. So last night I'm sitting there saying, okay, Denver last night shot 27.8% from the three-point line. Their other max player has been a bum.
Yeah, Porter Jr.
And I love MPJ. That's my dude. He's a max guy. He can barely shoot.
Not a max guy, a J guy.
Yeah, but
and Christian Braun comes off the bench and gives you energy and gives you hustle face. And gives you points, right?
Okay.
And he's a winner. And then all of a sudden, like, you see that margin. And so you're saying to yourself, wait, Denver's still not even reaching their potential. Michael Porter Jr., their third best player, is not playing well at all in this series. And they still won convincingly.
Yeah,
but when you look at it, what was the one thing, the X factor in game two that we talked about? Most everybody talked about, oh, Jokic, 40 points. We talked about the assist game. Mm-hmm. Now you got a dude coming out with the triple-double. And then you got Murray with the triple-double. You add those assists in, and people forget a lot of times, Jay, those assists lead to points, whether it's a hockey assist or not. They lead to points. So when you add the point total that the actual player gets plus the assist or the hockey assist, that's how you thrive. That's how guys like this are able to do the things that he's able to do and contribute to his team, where if guys aren't shooting the ball well, in certain starters, the other max players and all that, but everybody else is able to chip in because he's the major contributor by dishing out the ball. Then Murray getting 10 assists. Look, you could just tell that they was getting ready to open up a can on them, especially once they got to that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And, Keith, I mean, first ever player to drop 32, 21, and 10 in the NBA Finals game.
For Jokic. We just showed a stat on ESPN too, Jay.
And he's really tall.
In the history of the NBA playoffs, there have been five total 30-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist triple-doubles. So basically 30-point triple-doubles, but with at least 20 boards, right? One each by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain. And keep in mind, when Wilt was playing, the pace of play, they got up so many shots. There were lots of opportunities, not only for points, but also for rebounds, especially because shooting percentages weren't that high from outside the paint. So there are many more opportunities to do it in Wilt's day. That's why his rebound and Bill Russell's rebound numbers were super. 50 rebounds in a game, stuff like that. 30 rebounds in a game. One each for those guys. Three for Jokic so far, playing in this era. Three for Jokic.
I mean, you could make the case that Jokic is the best offensively skilled big ever to play the game.
Yeah.
Ever.
When you add the passing.
Like,
you know,
that's always hard for me to say as a hooper because I feel like watching Hakeem Olajuwon, that dude was so skilled. His footwork was so different. But, like, the passing and, like, he's a master of leveraging angles. Like, you know, his shot-making ability around the rim, the floater game, the hook shot game, the up and the under game, his ability, like, to pass out of double teams, his ability to be patient. I mean, the dude's shooting 55% from the field, damn near 50% from the three-point line. I mean, he's leading the NBA in the postseason in points, rebounds, and assists.
There's always
a center.
Yeah, there's always a good chance that whoever's the best at the present moment is the most skillful because they build on the skills of previous generations. You're not saying he's the greatest. In other words, in his era, he's towering over everyone more than Kareem did, say. But you're saying just in an absolute sense,
skill set.
When you look at the tape, you say, yeah, he has more refined skill. But what's crazy to me about that stat we just showed about the 30-point, 20-board, 10 assists is in the history of the game, only two dudes have done it once. This dude's done it three times now.
Yo, can I tell you the best part about it, Key? So Mark Jackson last night, did you hear what MJ said? MJ said, he reminds me of an old dude at the playground who used to shoot the same shot over me with a cigarette in his mouth.
He's a grown man playing with kid.
Grown man with cigarettes in his mouth.
YMCA game. Yeah.
Blowing it out, just giving you buckets.
When you start to break him all the way down and his skill set and how he moves and stuff like that, that's just how he looks. There's nothing – you got to really love basketball to appreciate – what he does, because he's out there toying around with one hand. He got one – he did one pass, Jay. I don't remember exactly what quarter it was, but
– talking about the one from game two where he caught that thing with one
–
last night.
He wrapped it around underneath the layup, but it didn't – he did it with one hand. And he had it up in the air, kind of waving around beforehand. I was like, come on, man. See, you
– You talking about when he faked the three and then drove to the basket?
No, he passed it, though. There, go right there. That one right there.
He did another one in game two where he literally caught a pass with one hand in the air and just literally touched it down to somebody else below. Like, this is the
dexterity. That's why I disagree with Key. I disagree. It's not fun to watch. I think
it's dope.
I think even if you don't, if you're not into basketball, it's like a great defensive play in baseball or a great catch in football. Those kind of things, you're just like, oh, damn, that looks different.
Yeah, but the reason why I say it's not fun to watch is because he looks like the kid at the playground. I mean, the big dude at the playground, Jay. Everybody is 4'3". He's 6'4". That's what it looked like. And everybody is literally his size, though. But he's just out there toying with him. So I'm like, oh, God, here we go. You can predict and know what's getting ready to happen.
So, in the meantime, that's what went right for the Nuggets. You mentioned their defense was much better, Jay. Teammates with triple-double with 30 points. First ever in any game, by the way.
Jamal Murray had a triple-double.
By the way, that's what I'm saying. No teammates in any NBA game ever had two 30-point triple-doubles in the same game, and they did it in the finals in a good idea to win game three on the road. What went wrong for the Heat other than those two guys? 888-SAY-ESPN, KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80 were presented by Progressive Insurance. So what went right for the Denver Nuggets was, for the first time in the history of the NBA, a pair of teammates in the same game had 30-point triple-doubles, never happened before, and they did it in a pivotal Game 3 of the Finals on the road. pretty good time to do it. What else went wrong for the Miami Heat? Jimmy Butler weighed in on how he felt after the loss.
We feel great. We didn't play our best tonight. I feel like we just got to come out with more energy and effort, and that's correctable. That's on us as a group. No X's and O's can fix that. So, you know, come out, dive on the floor, get loose balls, get defensive rebounds, and maybe it would have been a different game.
Jay, you buy what he's selling?
I mean, look, I'm never going to count out Miami, even though I think it's over. I think it's a wrap.
That's counting them out.
Well, I could think it's over doesn't mean it's over.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but the thing that we were just talking about during the break, though, I think a lot of Miami is momentum-like. Mm-hmm. It's how you allow them to play. So in game two, you saw Max Strus find his rhythm very quick on miscues and miscommunication from mm-hmm. Denver, right? Mm-hmm. Which they got rolling offensively. So you saw that. In the first two games, Denver contested Miami on 41% of their threes, mm-hmm. right? 41. Last night, they contested them on 61%.
Made a difference.
61%. So when you're butt naked and you see the ball go in multiple times, you build a confidence. You get a rhythm. You know, you get that lather. Last night, it never felt like Miami was able to find that lather.
They got to get open shots somehow early in the game.
Jimmy Butler had 9 assists in game two, man. I mean,
what do you have last night? 4?
4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you saw the defense collapse multiple times, and Jimmy made the right reads, and guys were knocking down shots. You didn't see a lot of wide open, uncontested shots last night.
No, and it looked like they was taking wild shots, right? They was just – it was almost like they was
desperate.
Shooting the ball – like just shooting it, not setting their feet, not taking their time, not lining things up. They just was doing stuff out there like they was playing playground basketball. And when you do that and you're missing the shots doing that sort of stuff, how you expect to win the game? That's just undisciplined.
So, and look, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus were combined 3 of 17 last night. So, I mean, Gabe Vincent, we talk about Gabe Vincent making anywhere next year between 9 to 10 to $11 million annually mm-hmm. a year, mm-hmm. right? Max Strus, same with his contract. So when you don't have that three-point shooting, then you're asking Jimmy Butler to do it all. And he was missing chippies last night because of the time he's pouring in. And he had 28, but still it's like him and Bam, two men can't beat five, dog.
Is this why you talk about the undrafted player situation, Jay, where you saw last night the undrafted players become undrafted players last night? Is this why where you got guys – that are the guys on the other team doing what they're supposed to do?
But it's just not that, though, Key. Like, think about the size that all these guys have. Like, I wrote it down. Like,
no, I know that, but, you know, at some point.
Size and talent, right?
So but at some point, that talent.
That's what I'm saying.
Lack of talent shows up. That's what I'm saying.
So the size and the talent thing are two of the biggest themes for me. Like, you got Michael Porter Jr., like, the rebounding margin, they got pummeled on the glass. So in points in the paint, they got destroyed with points in the paint, similar to game one. After a while, like that, there's a wear and tear effect on your body when you have to battle like that, man. Like that translates to me to the perimeter because it takes away from your legs. So when you got Michael Porter Jr. out there 6'10", you got Jokic out there, you know, 6'11", you got Aaron Gordon out there 6'8". You saw him get multiple post-ups last night. You know, you try to combat that with Kevin Love. You got Christian Braun coming off the bench who's 6'4 and a half, 6'5. He can play at that same energy level.
He was huge last night.
He was huge last night.
Because it was still a game.
He bodied Jimmy Butler one play.
When he got in the game, it was still a game, and the Heat were within striking distance. And then you blinked, and he had, like, you know, 8 points in I don't know how many minutes, and it wasn't a game anymore. All they really needed is a little contribution on the Nuggets from someone else at that point, and it was a wrap, and it was a wrap. Meantime, Jimmy Butler, you understand why he points to effort, right? Because you want to say that there are things within your control that you can do to win the game. You're not going to sit there and be, they're just too good for us. Why'd they lack effort? Listen to him being asked and answer this question. This is Jimmy Butler after the game.
You mentioned the effort. Why do you think it was so lacking tonight?
I don't know. I can't answer that. Maybe, you know, we're at home. We think we did something. I don't know. It just can't happen. It won't happen again. It starts with myself. You know, I got to lock in on a defensive end. I got to go up and get loose balls. So I think if I start playing and doing that, then everybody else has to follow suit.
That had to be Nick Friedell asking that question, right?
Definitely, yeah.
That was Nick. Unmistakably Nick Friedell.
Why do you think it lacks effort? That question is
Listen, he's got a good voice. Why are you mocking his voice? It's a good voice.
You were saying like James Earl Jones out there, man.
That's right.
Asking questions. Yo, but I mean, Jimmy ain't wrong. Jamal Murray had 20 in the first half.
Yeah.
20. But it was all pick and roll action. So I don't know why they wouldn't just blitz pick and roll and force the ball out of his hands, because when Jamal Murray started to get going, he single-handedly allowed Jokic to also find that rhythm by being aggressive offensively.
Man, you can't have two dudes like that. You look at the Nuggets roster and you go, well, actually, yeah, Jokic is an MVP-caliber player, but they don't really have – in the playoffs, now throughout his career – Jamal Murray's an MVP-caliber player.
Cut the head off the snake, right?
Right, it's a two-headed snake.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, like, even when Jokic gets his, if Jamal Murray doesn't get his, you feel like you have a chance to win the game. But when Jamal Murray gets his, they're a different team. That's what they did in game two. Jamal Murray struggled. He had 18 on, like, 17 shots.
Yeah.
That's not last night.
No, you got to blitz the pick. I mean, what are your options at this point?
There is no options. I don't understand why you wouldn't blitz it.
Greco in Queens has something to tell us, guys, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. What's up, Greco?
Nothing much. Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
What's up?
I was just checking with Jay to see, you know, they back up 2-1 now. I didn't know if he was I didn't know Mobb Deep made that song about him. Like, Shook Ones was about Jay. He's scared to make the bet.
Oh,
so, scared to know. Make
shots fired.
Wait, Greco scared to make what bet?
Man, you know, come Greco on, trying Jay. To get in on the action, Jay.
No, the Mets
jacket.
Oh, the
here
Mets.
We go, Key.
All right, so wait, what's the bet, Greco?
If Miami wins, I get the jacket. If they lose, I guess I got to quit the show. I can't work at the show no more.
Man, get out of here. That's a wild
trying to
bet,
get
man.
You suck a bet.
Sucker bet, man. Get out of here. If Miami wins the series, I'll buy you a Mets jacket.
Damn, Greco from Queens.
And if Denver wins the series, you buy me a Mets jacket.
Meanwhile, back in Queens, the real estate foundation.
Bet?
That's a bet.
Bet. I'll give the jacket to charity. My charity.
All right, bet. And I'll give the jacket to my back.
All right, cool.
Shook Ones, Jay. You let him come at you with Shook Ones?
Damn. That's whack, man. Come on, man. I'll take that bet.
Realness
all day.
And foundation. If a dog, I already won choose 1,000. A better location.
I already won a G on the show on the Lakers bet. I already won a G on the show
From Greco.
No, from
Jimmy Pesci. Pesci, right?
No, that's not even Jimmy Joe Pesci.
I can't think of another radio show I ever heard where one of the hosts is taking money from the callers.
Y'all giving away free money. I'm gonna take it.
Did he ever give you the money?
No, I told him he didn't need to.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I
there's a heart in there.
I'm gonna take this jacket though. I'm gonna take the jacket.
If he hit you with Shook Ones, you gotta
come and play me?
Yeah, you gotta take the jacket. Okay, take the jacket. Once someone says Shook Ones, now you gotta take the jacket, Jay.
Swimming hard, Greco. He's swimming hard, man.
Does Jokic not get more love because he's not American? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hear us on the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. And if you get to work and you got to get out of your car and you want to still listen, boom, we're right there. So Dan Le Batard yesterday said that he believes that Nikola Jokic does not get more love because he is not American. If Jokic were an American who, say, went to Duke, The country would love him. He's Magic and Bird, and America hates him? What? I don't know that America hates Jokic. But I do agree with the idea that were he American, he would be much, much more popular than he is. And by the way, we'll see going forward, if they win the championship and he continues to make deep playoff runs every year and play like this, he will eventually get much more popular. But if he were American, I think it would already be there.
If you were a white American, is that what we're saying?
If you were a black American, same thing.
I can't disagree with you more, Max.
Why is that?
It has nothing to do.
It's not the same thing. Even more popular if he's a white American. That's true.
Yeah, that's what I was.
But either way, were he American.
Because I just look
at
guys like Grayson Allen, J.J. Redick, Steve Wojciechowski. Like, they were white Americans. But, I mean, granted, their games weren't good, but they didn't get – they were deemed more as, like, villains more so than –
because it doesn't
than,
have –
like, the because glorified superstars.
But the logic here is important to me. Yes, there are other factors that may be more important than being American. If you have a terrible personality, right – people, you'll turn people off, or you're just not good enough. You're not MVP caliber every year. You won't be as popular. Or if you have an incredible personality, maybe you can overcome not being from here. But that's not the same thing as saying if Jokic is the same guy he is, but from here, he wouldn't be more popular. That's what I'm saying. And I believe he'd be much more popular if he was from here. Go ahead, Key. I'm sorry. You were
I
saying
forgot
something.
My train of thought now. Go ahead.
Obviously, if you were born and raised in the United States and people with social media were able to follow him from the time he first came into the league, like potentially.
Oh,
but by the way, he also – you guys know that Jokic didn't really come into his game until way later in his career. It's not like Jokic was putting up these type of numbers on the high school circuit or would have been in the college circuit. Like, right? Like, his game has really transpired into a different form over his time in Denver. So,
but he did win back-to-back MVPs.
I've been talking about Jokic for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. But by the way, I think that's more do with logistics and where Denver is and people. Like I said, like we only talk about like the Lakers, or we talked about this yesterday. As much as I wanted to talk about Denver throughout the course of the year, you guys you guys just poo-pooed it all the time.
Poo-pooed it.
So that's what I'm saying. Now you appreciate it because you're seeing it in the NBA Finals.
Yes, he did it in the
playoffs.
And
you're forced to watch it. Mm. You're forced to watch him. That's
Wake
why
up,
there's
Jay,
a level of appreciation.
Done.
What, Key?
Wake me up when you're done because you're boring, just like Jokic.
See?
You're boring. And that has a lot to do with not being appreciated by the American fan base. It has nothing to do with anything except he's boring. And when you have a boring style – people don't appreciate the boring style. You appreciate it because you are a basketball.
It's boring.
I think it's really interesting, actually, his style.
I'm just telling you, it's boring, Jay. You know it's boring. Stop trying to.
I'm not though. You're dead wrong on this.
I'm not talking about you. You're a basketball player, so you appreciate all the fine things that's done right. Okay, because Dirk Nowitzki wasn't boring. He wasn't. He had swag. He had all that.
And you mean his
American.
Personality?
Why? Because Dirk hit fadeaways. I mean, Jokic hit fadeaways.
But it
the
don't
shots
look
are actually
the same.
Similar.
He's
and he actually does stuff off one leg, just like Dirk.
It just don't look the same, Jay.
I don't know.
Maybe
NBA
I'm wrong.
Touch passes and stuff.
Yates, chime in here, man, because you're the other basketball guy on the show. Chime in and tell him what you like about him and don't like about him.
I mean, Joker is like one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen, but he's a boring personality.
There you go.
Personality, you're
Period.
Saying. That's different than.
You can't, like, we watch Dirk be a non-American and everybody loved him. We watch, like Pat
but
said.
But Dirk had a boring personality.
But Dirk also
no,
was.
No, he didn't.
Nah, bro. Like,
no,
Dirk,
he did
Dirk,
not.
Dirk talked trash after the threes. You know, he changed up the way that the three celebration was for him.
Yeah, I agree. He didn't have a boring personality.
Yeah, like
but Yates, what you're arguing. Hold on. Wait.
Manu Ginobili's a non-American. Hakeem's a non-American. All
Yates,
those guys
you're arguing
marketing.
Something different than Key. Key, you're saying his on-court style is boring. Jay and I both disagree with that.
His on-court style is a mirror image of his personality. There's
touch passes
players.
And stuff like that are fun to always have been. People always ooh and ah that kind of stuff.
It's however you want to craft it, shake it up. It's boring.
Well,
okay?
Yates, you're arguing that
his personality is boring. Okay?
The style of play
is slow.
He plays like the Spurs used to play, and we never thought that the Spurs were a fun team to watch. They were just a great team to watch in terms of basketball.
He's got a little more flash in his game than Tim Duncan, actually.
Spurs had Manu Ginobili. That's the flash for the Spurs team.
Yes. Think about it, Jay, with Mark Jackson, a guy who played in the NBA from New York, who's a baller, right? He said he reminds him of a dude smoking a cigarette, like an old cat. That's boring, man.
Giving you buckets.
But
no, I don't think the style is boring. Now, if you want to get to personality, that's different. You're saying he doesn't have as big a personality as, say, someone like Dirk, so the personality doesn't overcome the fact that he's not American, I listen to that. That may be the case. But still, that doesn't stop the fact if you gave him the same personality, same game, but he was born here. He would be a much more popular figure. By the way, I've seen this in boxing, right? The Klitschkos were heavyweight champions together for 10 years, and Americans didn't care. But Evander Holyfield is from here. Everyone knows who he is. Like, it's different.
But we're also in a highlight-driven culture, man, where you want to see high-flying dunks. You want to see acrobatic moves. That's why the theme over in Europe for the longest time has been, like, they are more skilled and they are more technically trained than American players. It's like, think about Key as a little kid. When you used to love MJ, you would lower the rim. You try to do all the MJ dunks. Ain't nobody working on their damn footwork.
I actually did all the MJ stuff when I was young.
I was saying, ain't nobody working on footwork. Ain't nobody working on up and unders and all those aspects of the game. So that's where European basketball is further advanced than we are.
Here's what
until recently, we're trying to get back.
Here's what I'm going to say, then I'm going to let y'all go back and forth and bicker. Kawhi Leonard not only is American, he's black. Okay? Not only is he black and American, he's boring. Okay? And we really don't care much about him or build him up.
Kawhi Leonard's game on the court is sick.
I'm talking to Jay.
We're all three here.
Is crazy. Now you can go. I wanted to let Jay hear what I was saying.
No, you ain't wrong.
Kawhi Leonard point is true in that his personality is very flat, like unusually flat. But his game, it wasn't like he was winning MVPs in the regular season and doing what he did in the finals. And even then, if he was still underappreciated, it would be, oh my God, his personality is so flat and his game is sick but super technical, right? That he didn't capture people's imaginations. There would be other reasons that he's not more popular, but that does not mean that Jokic wouldn't be more popular if he was American. By the way, Larry Bird was super popular, right? Three-point shots.
Larry Bird was a guard.
No, he wasn't.
Larry Bird was a guard.
Larry Bird was a forward.
He's a forward guard.
No, he was a forward, a small forward, and sometimes a power forward. He used to average 10 rebounds a game.
That's the position he was labeled at. But do you see power forward shooting threes and have the best jump shot maybe
ever?
That
was one of the things that made him different, like Jokic doing it at center.
Have handles in passing. Like you're just caught up into positions, Max.
Wait,
like
you Larry just Bird, said guard. I didn't bring up positions.
You're arguing me on positions.
No. I'm bringing up Larry Bird as an example of someone who was very popular. And Larry Bird said he was a guard. He wasn't.
But Larry Bird also went to the national championship game against Magic Johnson.
Okay.
The most watched game in the history of college basketball.
And had he not been from here, he wouldn't have.
What?
Had he not been from here, he wouldn't have. In other words, that plays into it. If you go through college and you're on national
Jokic
TV.
Jokic wasn't like that in high school or college. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Yeah, of course.
But you can't say, yeah, of course, because Larry was like that in high school and college.
Well, Jokic was nasty at the age of 17 or 18, but no one over here knew it. But in addition to that, the country responds differently.
So was Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic was playing professional basketball.
Luka Doncic
at 17, 18 years old, destroying people. Did you know about him?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I just didn't see him play a lot. But yeah, he was well known. In a way that Jokic wasn't. That's true. It was one of the reasons he was more popular.
He was not well known in the United States.
He was when he was 17.
I follow basketball for a living every single day. He was not well known. When I would talk about Luka Doncic, people here would not
know. Was he more well known than Jokic?
Gotta go to break.
Does Damian Lillard need to rip the Band-Aid off and ask for a trade already, KJM?
I don't even know what we're arguing anymore.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
KJM is brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere, 24/7. Beacon, always building. Does Damian Lillard just need to rip off the Band-Aid already and ask for a trade? He's been legendarily loyal to that town, to Portland, for his whole career. But he's on the wrong side of 30. Portland does not look to be knocking on the door of a championship. And Brian Custer asked Damian Lillard on his podcast, Last Stand podcast, Brian Custer's podcast, what new team he considered. You're going to hear Brian give him a list of names of teams and listen to Lillard's response.
Everybody keeps saying Damian Lillard is going to be traded to the Knicks. Damian Lillard's going to be traded to the Heat. Damian Lillard should be traded to the Celtics. Damian Lillard's going to be traded to the Nets. If one of those trades went through out of those teams, which one would you be like, that's not too bad?
Miami, obviously. Miami is the obvious one. And Bam is my dog.
He came out like a shot, Jay.
Hello, goodbye, Tyler Hero and draft picks. I mean, whatever you need to do to make it work. I mean, look, you're all right with Dame. One of the things I love about Dame is that today you're going to hear everybody pop off and tell Dame what the hell Dame should do. Dame don't give a damn what you think. Dame isn't going to ask publicly for a trade. That's not how this cat is built, right? It will need Portland to say, hey, we are moving in this direction. Thank you for your service. Let us help you get to a situation. Almost like Matt Ryan, right? Like, remember how, like, with the Atlanta Falcons, they're like, hey, thank you for your service. I'm not saying, like, age-wise or where that's tapped out. But it's like, all right, like, you've given us all you've given us. Like, let us put you in the best possible situation. Like, that's the way it's going to have to end for Dame in Portland. Dame is not going to be one of these dudes. He's not cut from that cloth. Oh, now I'm going to put my foot in the ground. I want out. He might give you a little bit of tease here and there about, like, what he thinks good situations are, but I rock with that mentality at the end of the day. He ain't built like everybody else, and that's what makes this dude unique and different.
You know, Aaron Goodwin is his agent, and he's obviously represented Dane the entire time that he's been in the NBA, both from the same area in the Bay. I hear what you're saying, Jay, about Dane out front personally. But you know how it goes behind closed doors. At some point, when you get on the other side of 30 and you've yet to win a championship or really even play in a championship to get that feel, at some point you got all the money in the world. No matter how you embrace the community, no matter how much the community embraces you, your legacy in the Portland area, wherever you play, at some point as a player, you want to have an opportunity to play for a championship, not just be in the playoffs, but actually the one of the last two teams standing. And we know Pat Riley. If they don't win this year, you know Pat Riley. He's going to figure out a way. All that little bit of chuckle and laugh, and Bam is my guy, that window opened. That opportunity now opened for Pat Riley to pick up the phone and Eric Spoelstra to pick up the phone and whoever else is in Miami running the business to pick up the phone to influence some things.
I mean, but Key Dame low key been moving. I mean, he was out in Brooklyn for a while in New York, right? So you got Mikal Bridges. He's talked openly about that relationship with Mikal.
Don't do the New York thing to me.
I'm just telling you how he's been moving. I'm not pulling stuff out of thin air. I'm just telling you what Dame is doing.
No, I know, but don't do the New York thing to me, Jay.
You know, so look, if you were to ask what is the perfect location, Dame is cut from the same cloth as a Pat Riley,
see,
as an Eric Spoelstra.
Bingo.
That's where they're cut from.
That's the thing. What is significant about the sound, what grabs your attention, is not that he's entertaining the idea of leaving, because Brian Custer asked him if it was a hypothetical. It's the fact that when he heard Miami, it came out like a shot. It was no equivocating. Miami, of course, right? And when you think of defense, you don't think of Damian Lillard. And when you think of defense, you certainly think of Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat. But there's a larger issue than that, because his personality is the perfect fit there. When you think of mentality, Dame's mentality, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler's mentality, that's like when Jimmy Butler first signed with the Heat, he's like, yeah, that's right. That matches up. Lillard and the Heat match up, right? Don't you? It's an especially good situation. So as Key brought up, Jay, now that he's said it out loud, does it make it more likely that he could actually wind up there?
You're damn right. Plus, you got guys like Gabe Vincent, his contract's coming up. You got Max Strus. He's an unrestricted free agent. They can have bird rights on him, too. Same with Gabe Vincent. But these guys talking about getting paid $10 to $15 million a year.
And you can get that money, Jay. You can get that money to Dame, right? All that money they going to pay everybody, boom, boom. You package it up, give it to Dame. And they're known to go find a couple other little sprinkle pieces. They can find the sprinkle pieces to put around those dudes.
If you got 7 undrafted players in a team that's in the finals, in the rotation, right? That means that if you have guys like Damian Lillard and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you should be able to find and develop pieces around them if you're the Heat. And listen, Pat Riley's never been shy about going to get the big fish when they've been available.
The only problem is, like, guys like Joe Cronin, the GM for the Portland Trailblazers, like, if you have to make that trade, right? So, like, do I like the pieces that – because now if I'm on the market, I'm looking for how am I getting the best pieces in return for Dame's talent? So that becomes a little bit of the problem, right? It's great that Dame is saying, I would like to be in Miami, but – does that work out best for me if I'm the Portland Trailblazers for where I want to retool my team?
See, if I'm the GM, Jay, let's say I can get what could you get for Tyler Hero? If I don't want Tyler Hero, could they get a couple of firsts for him? Could they get a first for him, a first?
Because I want Tyler Hero.
I'm saying if I'm Portland, I'm not looking for Tyler Hero. But what could you get for Tyler Hero? I might be interested in that. How much draft capital to put with their 3 first round picks? And then as a GM, that gives me some runway, because I could be like, look, we're in a rebuild. That gives me another 3, 4, 5 years, right? We're going to come in with 5 new first-round picks plus our own number 3, Simons and this one and that one. Maybe it's not working. We can clean house and start again with stupid draft capital. Wouldn't that give him more runway as a GM?
No, possible. Possible.
The Heat finals run has been a great story, but now they're down 2-1. At home, they can't lose game 4. They can't go down 3-1 and then head on the road. Is the story over now? Is it over for the Heat? Is Jay ready to go back to his sweep prediction? Gentleman style. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.